The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning, Montreal. It's currently 12 degrees and sunny at the Loyola campus in NDG. I'm Lucia Castanier. Let's get started with today's headlines. All the information you need about last night's election. Is it time to change the way we vote? Concordia students on strike. Starting with the election results, with a whooping 90 seats, François Legault's party keeps this majority government. The CAQ gained 14 more seats, earning 41% of the popular vote. The Liberals came in second with 21 seats, losing 7 seats. Following up came Québec Solidaire with 11 seats. They gained 1 extra seat since the last time. Coming in second to last, the Parti Québécois finished the night with 3 seats. Despite receiving almost 13% of the popular vote, Éric Duhaime's Conservative Party won no seats. Last night, the leaders of all the major Quebec political parties gave winning and losing speeches. With the recent Bill 96 issues, the politicians took the time to address the Anglophone minority. Even though they represent less than 10% of the population, their weight mattered. Russell Tellier reports.
Premier François Legault gave his speech in front of a large and excited crowd at his headquarters in Montreal. He said that the economy, inflation, and healthcare are issues that his government will address during its mandate.
When I say that Quebecers form a great nation, I mean all Quebecers from all regions, of all ages, of all origins.
Liberal leader Dominique Anglade likewise gave her speech at her party's headquarters in Montreal. She said that Quebecers have made clear that they want the Liberal Party to be the official opposition.
And let me be clear. We will represent all Quebecers from all strides.
For Concordia News, I'm Russell Tellier.
The mayor of Montreal, Valérie Plante, spoke on the election results of last night. Earlier this morning, while most of Montreal did not vote for the CAQ, the rest of the province did, and Legault won by a landslide. Jessica Jakubowicz joins us from City Hall. Jessica, what did the mayor say about the results?
The mayor started off by congratulating all of the parties and mentioned how they all ran a very good campaign. She congratulated Legault, and even though Legault and the mayor have had their differences in the past, she seems very willing to work with them still. And I spoke with Félix Lacaf from the Journal de Montréal.
I know the mayor Plante and the Prime Minister Legault don't see eye to eye, but I don't think it will be worse than it was before.
And what did the mayor have to say about the comments made by the CAQ about immigration?
Most of the questions were about immigration, because obviously that has been a hot topic. She mentioned how she wants every single person in Montreal to feel heard and safe, which includes immigrants. She also said that Montreal is all about diversity, and that in terms of immigration, she says it's something that the government needs to look at.
My vision of immigration is also about contributing to the economy, of course, but also how immigrants and people that chooses to live in Montreal or to study, and families that decides to come to Montreal and in Quebec, are people that contribute to the entire society.
That was Jessica Jakubowicz live for us from City Hall. Following up on the immigration, the CAQ has often been in hot water this election because of the remarks they've made. However, Premier Legault had a different speech last night after he gave his congratulatory speech. Tatiana Maloui-Pelletier has the story.
I'm going to be the premier of all Quebecers.
This was François Legault in his winning speech trying to reassure Quebecers that his government would be inclusive for all. This is a noticeable change from the CAQ's campaign, marked by comments such as implying that immigrants were a danger to Quebec society and that 80% of immigrants in Montreal did not work. According to Balarama Olness, leader of the Bloc Montreal and anti-racism activist, the CAQ campaigns only help the Liberals to gain easy votes from immigrants.
The Liberals, all they have to do is give someone a flyer and say, François Legault called all immigrants useless. Vote to the Liberals.
Maxime Lapointe, an immigration lawyer, says that for his client, Legault's statement does not erase the past few years of bad immigration policies.
The point is they were already worried since 2 years, and they were extremely disappointed since a week when they heard the comments of Minister Jean Boulet.
Mr. Lapointe does not think that the next 4 years will be any different.
The result of yesterday, I don't see anytime soon that the environment in immigration is going to be better.
After winning 90 seats at the National Assembly, the CQ has all the powers in immigration. This was Tatiana Mewepelti for Concordia News.
Despite the CAC's decisive victory last night in the provincial election, the party received less than half of the popular votes. The disproportionate relationship between the popular vote and the seats has resurfaced once again. Our reporter, Sharoma Jesse-Buidu, has more. Sharoma, what are the reasons behind the discrepancy between the popular vote and the number of seats?
So here in Quebec, we run under what is known as a pluralist system. So this means that essentially if a party is looking as though they are receiving a majority of the votes, regardless of what the popular vote is saying, they are automatically elected as the winner of the riding.
All right. So what are the impacts of this disproportionate representation you're explaining?
So we saw this go into effect last night, especially with the fact that the Liberal Party, the Parti Québécois, and the Québec Solidaire, as well as the Conservative Party, each ended up receiving between 13% and 15% of the votes. But despite the popularity that they seem to have amongst voters, that did not necessarily translate proportionately in terms of the number of seats that they received. You see that the Liberal Party had about 14% of the popular vote, but they ended up with 22 seats in the National Assembly, whereas the Quebec Solidaire fared far better than them in terms of the popular vote, but they only received 11 seats in the National Assembly. We also talked about Balaram Mahonis, the leader of the Bloc Montreal, to get his thoughts on how the current electoral system prevents smaller parties from being able to make an impact in provincial elections.
And the confederation, the challenges are grand. I knew they were all going to exclude us. So I didn't waste any energy. This is not an equal democracy.
So what are the other political parties saying that must be done to create a more fair and balanced election?
So Victor Tardis, an activist for the Quebec Solidaire, explained that for electoral reform to be achieved, Quebec needs to completely overhaul its current system. So he suggests that we move from a pluralist system to what he refers to as a mixed member proportional representation system. So for him, he says that this will ensure a more accurate representation of how voters really feel about the candidates that they choose to elect.
Which is a system that is typically referred to as mixed proportional. So mixed proportional basically implies that, yes, you still have MPs, you still have MNAs, et cetera, but it also takes into account the popular vote.
All right. Thank you so much for that report, Sharoma. Moving on, one of the parties that was trying to break through this time was Bloc Montréal, led by former football player Balaram Mahonis. Even though the party is unsurprised by their low results, they are still disappointed by the lower visibility of the issues that affect their targeted voters throughout the election. Simon Fernet talked to Holness, who said he wasn't surprised by the election results.
It was what we expected. It was clear that we were not going to get first past the post. But for us, it was very important to continue to advance the issues that we care about. And we touch Montrealers who believe in us and who believe in me and my vision. So I'm very happy that I decided to join this election.
You think the issues you wanted to see represented in these elections got like the visibility you wanted?
No, not at all. Bill 96, Bill 21, 40, all this stuff. We already knew this was going to be an issue. This doesn't matter. What didn't matter, but it's marginal. For us, the big one is more autonomy for Montreal.
You mentioned that bills 96 and 21 disproportionately affect the metropolis and its large religious and language minority populations. So what do you think the next 4 years of CAQ government are going to mean for these minorities?
Oh, no, it's over. It's a non-issue now. These issues will be dealt with in the court.
When going to talk about these issues with Montrealers, like what were the issues that grabbed their attention the most, you think?
I would say Montrealers voted on two bases. One, the fear of the CAQ, and number two, the habits and the Liberal brand. People weren't voting for education, they weren't voting for the economy, for the environment. I speak to people every day, I'm on the ground, they talk to me, I hear them. They say, I love you, Balarama. I like your vision. I would love to support you. but I'm fearful that CAC will get in if I vote for you.
The ongoing labor shortage is an issue that was raised during this election campaign. Many stakeholders worry about its impact on the economy. A business owner and a labor union tell us more about their challenges. Our reporter, Leila Ouman, has the story.
The lack of workers across various industries in Quebec, added to inflation, gives businesses a hard time. Economic stability and growth already challenged by the pandemic remain uncertain. Maria Grazales, cafe owner in NDG, shares her concerns. On the labor side, the largest union of Quebec, in charge of 6,100 workers, the FTQ, wants to work with the CAQ to improve the situation. To its president, Daniel Boyer, the election shows a democratic deficit. He says Legault needs to listen to their proposed solutions. The party governed Quebec alone. I hope it's not the case in the four next years, that he will work with the opposition, but also with civil society, municipalities. It's also us, the unions, that represent all workers.
While the province was following the elections yesterday evening, around 5:25 p.m., the Montreal Fire Department was called to a building on Kingsley Road in the Côte-Saint-Luc borough. Three floors had to be completely evacuated. Unfortunately, one person died and two had to be hospitalized due to smoke inhalation. It took about 75 firefighters and 25 fire trucks to control the blaze. The fire was out by 7 p.m. Students at Concordia University are going on strike. That's right. By boycotting class from October 3rd to the 7th, students across both campuses are standing up for what they believe they're entitled to, a fall reading week. Louise Brown-Newhook is joining us in studio to discuss the ongoing protest. So Louise, why are students choosing now to go on strike?
Well, the decision wasn't made hastily. This action against the university comes after many empty promises of a deserved break mid-fall. Students have been begging for a midterm break during the fall semester ever since their last strike in 2019. And since then, students have experienced a pandemic, had to juggle courses online, and are feeling more burnt out than ever. Executive of Socials of the Journalism Students Association, Autumn Derry, explains her frustration.
For the most part, students decided that after having voted in 2019 for a fall reading week, people are trying to figure out why it's taking 4 years for them to implement a fall reading week. They've said that it takes time to change the syllabus, but teachers and professors change their plans on a regular basis anyways.
How is this impacting faculty and staff at Concordia? What is their stance?
Although this unexpected change of events definitely throws a curveball in their lesson plan, most profs have been supportive of the initiative. Mental and physical health are a priority over a couple missed classes when thinking of the students' well-being long-term. I spoke with Elisa Mend, a professor of journalism at Concordia, who says the motivation behind the strike is to be respected by staff, even if not totally understood.
As a faculty member, even though I might not agree 100% with some of the premises of the strike this time around, I will always support students in their right to strike. Mm-hmm. So what I told them last week was, totally do it. If some of you show up, I'll give like some sort of alternate version of my class.
So what has the turnout been like? Are students willing to sacrifice missing class for this cause?
Funnily enough, I spoke to a few students who showed up to the Loyola campus at Concordia this morning, and they all said the same thing. They're only here to attend absolutely critical classes. Many said they would boycott later on in the week as a way to support the students involved. But for some people, classes are more important than a strike for no classes, ironically. Chloé Bergeron, a therapeutic recreation student at Concordia, is one of them.
I would have liked to strike, but I have a class that is really important for a paper that is due in 2 weeks. But like my second class today, I don't think I'm going to go just to like support the cause.
The strike will go on until Friday, but it is yet to be seen whether promises of a fall midterm break in 2023 will actually be fulfilled.
Thank you, Louise. That was Louise Brown-Newhook on the Concordia University student strike. On the healthier side of news, the 15th edition of the Participation Report Card on Physical Activity for Children and Youth came out this morning. While some say grades don't matter, the overall result for kids this year was a D. This marks a setback from the 2020 edition. The national organization cited the pandemic as the main reason for the lack of physical activity in Canadian children and youth. For arts and entertainment this week, the theater festival Phenomena restarts after a two-year break due to the pandemic. The Festival du Nouveau Cinéma is back for its 51st edition, and we get a taste of Ludovic Bourgeois' new album coming out this Thursday. For all our arts and entertainment news, here's Esther Morin. This week, Montreal artist Ludovic Bourgeois is coming out with his new album, Rêveur, on October 6th. Since winning La Voix in 2017, his fame has only been rising. In controversial news, promoting a cryptocurrency on her Instagram account without mentioning it was a paid promotion, Kim Kardashian accepts to pay a $1.26 million.
Il y a mon fils qui vous a reconnu et vous croyez que c'est possible de faire une photo avec lui?
In other news, the 51st edition of the Festival du Nouveau Cinéma is kicking off tomorrow, October 5th, with the opening film, Falcon Lake, by acclaimed filmmaker Charlotte Le Bon. It will go on for 12 days. On the agenda are a series of independent and documentary films from around the world. Next, the horror movie film, Smile, hit first position in the box office in the US. Lastly, on movie news, the Amber and Depp trial will be made into a film. In theater news, the 11th edition of Phenomena Festival kicked off 2 days ago and will go on for a record number of 3 weeks this year. Thank you, Esther. To finish off this election period, Plan International Canada released this morning the State of the World's Girl Report called Equal Power Now, Girls, Young Women, and Political Participation. Only 9% of all the girls and young women interviewed expressed an interest in becoming prime minister one day. Quebec currently only has one female leader in the five main parties. Gender discrimination, lack of representation, and low confidence are the main barriers to women's political participation. Today will get warmer with a sunny high of 20 degrees in the afternoon. Tomorrow and Thursday we will be spoiled with another sunny high peaking at 24 degrees. The weekend will be colder though. Friday, 80% chance of rain with a high of 16 degrees. Saturday and Sunday will be chilly between 7 and 10 degrees. That's your news to 11:30. Thank you for hanging out with us this morning. For Concordia News, I'm Lucia Cassanier.